Bible, Bible friends, is perhaps a book that you've never taken the time, trouble, or maybe perhaps never had the opportunity of experiencing for yourself, reading and seeing exactly what it is that God the Lord would say to you. We want to give you an opportunity this morning to correct that, to take, if you will, a copy of, well, it's an extract at least from the Bible, is God's Word, and it's offered to you free of charge, without any cost or obligation to you, yours to do with as you will. But you may be surprised were you to read, for instance, Mark's Gospel here, which is offered to you. It would give you a summary of what the entire Bible is about. And you would discover, perhaps, maybe, that it's not about an instituted religion, but rather about a person, and of course that person is God's Son, Jesus Christ. Person who is altogether lovely, person who is a Savior, the only Savior, and the one, of course, who has the ability to transform not only your life here on this earth, but also to transform, to change, alter your eternal destiny. So we offer to you, as I say, a copy of God's Word, yours to take and do with as you will. Oftentimes we complain about things not being fair, and of course that applies to, does it not, to matters relating to God. You know, when things go awry, when things go wrong in our lives, and especially so in times of great and deep distress, you know, or maybe we read or hear of someone that we love, someone we know, someone maybe perhaps that we concern, we would say is totally innocent, and some tragedy befalls them, and we say that's not fair. And of course this was an indictment, an arraignment that God's ancient people brought against him. There's nothing new under the sun. It's all been said before. It's all been done before. And they were no different to this generation of people. That's not fair. God, that's not fair. You shouldn't do that, you know. And of course, well, the old question, the old chestnut, you know, how can a God of love possibly send people to hell? And of course, hearts that are made of stone, that have never been graced by God, that have never been made new, changed by the power of God's grace, when they are faced with affliction, with trouble in this world, even though they profess to be atheists, they don't believe that God is, when things go wrong and they are faced with terrible affliction, this is often the first complaint that comes out of their mouths: God, that's not fair. Well, God's answer to his ancient people, when they brought that charge against him, he said, no, it's not my ways that are unfair, it's your ways that are unfair. And Well, that's the question I want to pose before you this morning. Who's unfair? Is it God that's unfair, or is it you? Is it I? Is it we who are unfair? Because that's what God says. God is not unjust. He's not unfair. Not at all. Not if you think about it seriously. Not if you think about it with the Bible open. Not if you think about what God has to say about the human race, the reality of its state and condition. But, you know, I think that maybe perhaps somebody, a man or woman faced with severe affliction, trouble, you know, even if the doors of hell were to be opened in their faces, I think, just as the Bible says, they would continue to argue. They would be saying, "This is not fair. God, you are not fair." Well, that's not so. Because the Bible tells me, people, that God never, never, and never will punish an innocent person. But of course, we presume, you presume a person to be innocent. Even a child, you say. That's not fair, you say. God shouldn't do that. But you see, the truth of the matter is, there is no such thing as an innocent person. We're all of us, the Bible says, we're born, we're conceived in, and we're born in sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, is God's indictment upon the whole human race, men, religious or not. And so you see, there is no such thing as an innocent person. That's a complete, total anomaly. And then, of course, if you consider, if you think about your life until this point and your behavior within your life towards God, and then when God deals with you, afflicts you in some way, you turn around and you retort and you say, "God, that's not fair." Well, how come? How is it that it's not fair when you consider and think about your behavior and your attitude towards the God who made you in love, made you for love, made you in order to be able to relate to God in a loving relationship, and all you've done all your life long has been hostile to God, a hater of God, the Bible describes you outside of Jesus Christ. So how can you say, how can you bring this indictment against God and say that He's not fair? No, it's not me who's unfair, says God. It's you. You are unfair. But then, of course, if you were to examine your conscience, that is, if you still have one left, there are those, the Bible tells me, who have seared their consciences. You know, their past feeling. They no longer have a sense of what's right and wrong, what's evil and what's good. You live in a society today that calls evil good. Well, at least it certainly legislates for evil, saying it's good. And those who say that good is evil, that's the way your society is increasingly becoming. And then, of course, well, when God brings judgment to bear upon your society, your nation, it brings some affliction, some providence that brings disaster that takes human life, and you all begin to complain, you say, "God, that's not fair." No, says God, it's not me who's unfair, it's you who are unfair. You see, you have to understand the day, you have to discern the day in which you're living in this country of yours. This is a day of God's wrath. This is a day when God's holy displeasure is being expressed and being revealed amongst you. The Bible says that the wrath of God is being revealed, expressed, that is, against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. So you see, the wrath of God is always being revealed in every day and generation, but of course sometimes more so than others. And because, you see, of the backwardness, because of the wickedness, because of the apostasy in your land today, well, the wrath of God, you see, is being expressed very clearly amongst you and towards you. You have to understand that. And that brings judgments from God. And of course, when they come to you, that's when you start to complain. You say, God, that's not fair. But no, says God, it's not my ways that are unfair, it's yours. And of course, in a day of God's wrath, he is whetting his sword, ready, of course, to take vengeance upon those who will not obey the gospel, and of course, who do not know God. These are times I want to suggest to you this morning. These are times for very serious examination. Self-examination, I mean, examining your own heart, considering the way that you take, and considering where that will end, where that will lead you. And I urge you this morning, whatever you think about me and whatever you think about what I'm doing here today, I ask you to consider, to think about your own way and your own eternal destiny, where your life and the way that you're living it at this present time, where that's going to take you. And I urge you in the light of that to repent, as Jesus says, and believe the gospel, because the kingdom of God is yet at hand. If God were to come down amongst you, and of course he does, he is in your midst, his presence is ever and always with you, but of course it's presently because it's a day of his wrath, he is present with you in wrath rather than in love because of your sinful and wicked ways. But even were he to come and were he to open the doors of your churches, many of them throughout your land, what would he find in those churches? He would see profanity, he would see blasphemy, and he would see the vilest of errors. Even amongst your churches, there is widespread apostasy. Sin and wickedness abounds, even in what people would call, or used to call at least, the house of God. These are terrible days, and because of these things, it's a day of wrath, a day of God's holy displeasure against you as a society and a land. And of course, when he comes and deals with you individually, when he brings afflictions to bear upon you, your complaint is, God, that's not fair. But consider whose ways it is that are unfair. It's not mine, says God, it's your ways that are unfair. The land in which you live today, what used to be termed to be a Christian country, of course, it never was, but that's what we used to call it. The land is now filled, polluted with the air and the smoke of God's wrath, his holy displeasure. I tell you, it's a wonder to me, not that there are judgments amongst you, not that people are whisked off to a lost eternity, taken suddenly, young and old alike. That's not surprising. God's judgment, His wrath, is not surprising, to me at least anyway. It's His patience, it's His long-suffering that's an amazing thing to me, that God should forbear with you as long as He has done. But another matter of astonishment to me is that you can't smell the sulfur, that you can't feel the heat of the flames, because they're licking at your very feet, I tell you. Such is the day of wrath in this land of ours today towards this nation of ours, that's so gone backwards, been given so much and blessed in so many ways with the gospel some 400 years, and look at you now, utterly godless, utterly profane, altogether gone back. And so God's wrath, you see, God's wrath is upon you. It's a day of God's wrath. He has a contention with you. He says, don't you be saying to me that my ways are not equal. It's your ways that are not equal, He says. You're unfair, not me. And you still, surprisingly, amazingly, you still have the gospel. You still have the good news of Jesus preached, proclaimed amongst you. You still have it in some churches. And you have it here on the streets of Carlisle. And you have done for many, many a long time. But what does the preaching of the gospel do for you? Does it bring you to your senses? Does it bring you to an awareness of your sin? Does it bring you to repentance? Does it bring you to a faith, a trusting in Jesus Christ for salvation? No, it doesn't. The gospel's proclaimed amongst you, and all it does is it hardens you. It makes you more cynical, more unbelieving. It just simply fattens you for the day of judgment, the ultimate wrath of God poured out upon the world and its wickedness. The gospel is still proclaimed amongst you, and yet your wounds are still, they're stinking, they're not healed, there's no healing balm amongst you. Your children are rebellious, your children grow more wicked than you do, and of course the nation is perishing in its sin. And yet, people, amazingly and surprisingly, the Bible still says, believe it or not, that God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. The astonishing, it's a day of God's wrath. Be clear about that. Don't be saying God's not fair when He visits you with affliction, when He visits you with pain and suffering. Don't be saying, God, that's not fair. Your ways are unequal. No, says God, it's your ways that are unequal. It's your ways that are unfair. No, the astonishing, the amazing thing is, people, that in spite of this being a day of God's wrath, it's still a day of God's mercy. You see, it's still, the Bible tells me, it's still an accepted time. It's still a time of grace when men and women can repent of their sin and believe upon, lay hold upon the Savior, the only Savior, I declare, Jesus Christ. He of whom the Bible says, God says, He appointed to be a Savior. here who died on the cross for the ungodly. Christ who died for sinners that they might be rescued, that they might be redeemed from their unfair ways and brought into a right relationship with God, justified. To justify something is to make it right, you see. And Jesus came to make you right with God, that you might turn from your wicked, your unfair, unequal ways, and that you might walk with God. But I ask you people to do this very simple thing, but yet a very profound thing. I ask you to set your conscience impartially, if you can do so, to set your conscience impartially before God, before His tribunal. Bring your conscience, I ask you, to God's law, to the Ten Commandments of God. You say, what are they? Well, let me give you just a brief summary. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. What did you do last Sunday? Were you in God's house worshiping God, or playing football, or watching it being played? You see? Another commandment is, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Now there's one for this generation, is it not? How would Jesus describe it? An adulterous generation? A day of God's wrath, oh, be assured of that, but still yet a day of grace, a day of God's favor. Bring your conscience to the commandments of God. What did you do on the Lord's Day, last Sunday? Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And of course, that's just the summary of God's law. And so, if you were to bring your conscience impartially to those words, you would find and discover, if you were an honest person, you would discover that you, like myself, have broken every single one of those commandments. And yet, when it goes wrong with you, some affliction is brought to bear upon your life, you say, God, that's not fair. No, says God, I gave you my commandments so that your society would be wholesome, free of sexually transmitted disease, free of liars, spin doctors, so that your society would be trustworthy, wholesome, and safe, and good, and kind, and loving. That's what I gave those commandments for, not to restrict you, but to safeguard you, and to safeguard your hearts and lives. And yet you have despised and trampled upon those commandments of God. And when it goes wrong, you say, God, that's not fair. That's not equal. No, says God, it's not my ways that are unequal. It's your ways, he says, that are unfair. So I bid you people, weigh yourselves in the scales, in God's balance. Weigh yourselves against what God has revealed and see how you come out of the matter. The privileges that you've had these last 400 years, you've had Bibles and churches and preachers, you've had the gospel all these years, and are you a better nation for it now? Is it a safer nation? Is Carlisle one of the safe cities in our country today? Can you allow your children the freedom of going out to play unattended, unguarded? You daren't even leave them for a minute here in the shopping center for fear of some pervert who would take them away and do them harm. Is your society more loving? Is it more kind? Is it more caring? Are you a better people for your godless atheism? Has it made you a better people, kinder people, nicer people, more loving to God and to your neighbor? I suggest to you the very opposite. It has made you a nasty people. It has made you virulent. It has made you dangerous. That's what your godless atheism has done for you, people. Weigh yourself in the balances. Come to God's word, bring your conscience to it, and tell me that I'm wrong, or rather tell me that God's wrong. That's not fair, you say to God. No, says God, it's not my ways that are unequal, it's your ways. It's your ways that are unfair. But then, of course, it may be, I don't know, I'm not a prophet, I don't know, maybe perhaps God has taken the kingdom from you. Maybe God's finished with this nation. I don't know. It's happened before. Israel of old, God's ancient people, Jesus said the kingdom had been torn from them, because they had the same privileges as you have, and yet they apostatized. They turned their back upon God and upon His Savior, just as you have. So it would be perfectly fair for God to take His kingdom away from you. You've had the blessings, you've had the privileges, but you've despised them. So if God were to take the gospel away from you and leave you utterly barren, you would have no real complaint. You might say that's not fair, but God says, no, not my ways. It's your ways, He says, that are unfair. So I ask you to judge yourself. I'm not judging you. Judge yourselves. God says that if we would judge ourselves, He wouldn't have to judge us. That is, if you judge yourself righteously in the light of, in accordance with the Word of God. Judge yourself as God judges you, to be a covenant breaker, to be a sinner, altogether sinful, shot through with it, hearts deceitful and desperately wicked, every single one of us. And repent, turn from that sin, and believe, lay hold upon Jesus, the only Savior, the only one who can deliver you in this day of wrath and deliver you from the wrath to come. Bible says, flee from the wrath to come. You say, to where? To where do I flee? Into the arms of Jesus, the Savior who loved, who died for sinners, who gave Himself that you might be delivered from such divine displeasure. So, you see, people, the United Kingdom of Great Britain has been spared countless times before. We've been saved in the midst of wars, you know, times of famine and times of pestilence and disease. God has delivered this nation times and times again. And people, are we any better off for it? Are we full of gratitude and thankfulness? You don't even know your own history. You don't even know about the times that God's delivered this nation. You're totally ignorant of your nation's history. Never mind God's dealings with you as a nation. And the more and more that He spares you, the worse you become, the more sinful, the more wicked you become. That's an awful sin, people. And that's a sin to be repented of most seriously, with tears and brokenness, to turn from such and cry out to God, be merciful to me, a sinner. But please don't be saying, God, that's not fair. Because it's not God's ways that are unfair. It's your ways. Your ways, people, not God's. But then, of course, the fruit of God. You know, when God comes to you with these afflictions, with these judgments, you call them natural disasters, but there's no such thing as that. You see, there's one cause of everything, and that's God. He's the cause of everything. There's not a hair falls from your head without divine permission. There's not a sparrow falls to the ground without divine permission. You see, people, what you call natural disasters are revelations of God's displeasure, of His wrath against you. And you ought to take note, you see, when somebody's taken and removed from this world or harmed through what you call a natural disaster, what you ought to do is to take note. And as Jesus says on such an occasion, He says, you need to repent lest you likewise perish. Let such occasions be a warning to you and to bring you to a serious repentance of your sin and a trusting of and in Jesus for your salvation. But you see, God never brings afflictions. He never brings judgments upon people unrighteously. God's ways are perfectly, utterly righteous. The afflictions that God brings upon you, they're always less than you deserve. Always less than you deserve. Here you are today, you're still walking and breathing, and for the most of you that I can see here today, you enjoy good health, and God would be absolutely just in casting all of us into a lost eternity, into the place the Bible calls hell. But here you are, and you're hearing the gospel. God, you see, is so good to you. And it's out of His goodness that the gospel is being declared amongst you here this afternoon. These afflictions, judgments that God brings to bear upon you are to wean you from this world and make you think about eternal issues, the ones that are more important. And of course, the question that you need to face yourself with more than any other: where will you spend eternity? But of course, when these afflictions are brought to bear upon you, you complain, you say, God, that's not fair. But no, says God, it's not my ways that are unfair, it's your ways. And of course, when these afflictions come to you, they make you worse, they make you harder, they make you embittered, and the fruit of that, people, the end of that is just simply death. And I don't mean just physical death, I mean everlasting death. You see, afflictions that come to you, they will do one of two things. They'll either bring you to God through repentance and faith, or they'll drive you from God. In bitterness, complaining, God, that's not fair. It's not my ways, says God, that are unequal. It's your ways. And then, of course, God, you see, He would seek to separate you from the sin, you see, that separates you from Him. But you cling to the sin. You cling to the sin, you see, that God would separate you from. The thing that's doing you the most harm, that's separating you from God here in this life and will do for all eternity if it's not repented of. The very thing that's destroying you, God would separate you from it, but you fight against Him. You fight against him, you are against him, and you complain, God, that's not fair. And all the time he's seeking to separate you from that which would destroy you. How foolish is that? I ask you, people, repent of your sin and believe in the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The world, come out from amongst it, it's perishing. Come out from amongst them, says the Lord, and I will be your God. I will receive you. The world, you see, that despises God, and you, of course, along with it. The Bible says that the carnal mind is enmity against God, cannot be subject to God's law, doesn't want to be, cannot be so. And that's why Jesus says that a man must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see, perceive, understand the kingdom of God, let alone enter into it. So people, turn well. You have the opportunity today from all the vanity, profanity, blasphemy and uncleanness that fills your land, your society today. Come out from amongst it and be ye separate, says the Lord. Nation that's slowly bleeding to death. Life lived that's monstrous. A deformity of life in the eyes of Almighty God. And the end of that, I tell you, is nothing but humiliation and disaster. But were you to judge yourself, were you to bring your conscience impartially before God and before His holy law, and judge yourselves to be what you are indeed, sinners, and turn from that sin, repent of it, and believe the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ, that is, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, for he will abundantly pardon. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is God's command to you this afternoon, and the promise is, and thou shalt be saved. You'd like to have a copy of God's Word, check these things out for yourself and see. Taste of the goodness of the Lord. Read the Word of God, the written Word of God, offered to you without cost or obligation to you. A portion of God's written Word. Go better, take the living Word home with you. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Cry out to Him from your heart now. Save me, Lord Jesus, from this sinful, wicked generation. Save me from my own sins. Deliver me from the wrath to come. Have mercy upon me, a sinner. Cry out to Him. Ask Him to be your Savior. But you'd like to have a copy of God's Word, take home with you. It's offered to you. Yours to take and do with as you will. Come and ask for one. May God have mercy upon your precious souls.